Thank you, choir. What a wonderful reminder to us of bringing our gifts, not just to the baby, but to the Lord Jesus. And so as we prepare to receive our tithes and offerings to present to the Lord Jesus, the King Jesus. It's with appreciation for the music ministry. It's with an appreciation of the kids ministry that we have, the preschool ministry, all of the ministries that God has entrusted to our care so that we can tell people about Jesus and they can see how Jesus makes a difference in our lives. Jesus, who was born a child and who grew and lives among us as King of Kings. As you have given your tithes and offerings, either here this morning or online, thank you for giving to our Lord Jesus. Now I invite the usher to come forward and all of us to stand and sing in praise of God. Lord, like the wise men who followed the star and presented gifts to the babe, so we follow your direction in our lives and we give to you all of our gifts, the gifts of our hearts, the gift of our lives, the gift of our treasures and our time, knowing that you have already blessed us with abundance we cannot begin to imagine. Thank you for your Spirit who helps us trust you to provide for us as we reach out in faith to follow your word, to obey your will, and to make sure that the whole world knows that not only do you love us, but we love you and that your love is big enough for everyone. Thank you for bringing us to this time where we can bow and worship. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Invite you to remain standing. Let's sing the hymn, Spirit of Faith, Come Down.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Please listen to God's word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For the last few weeks, we have celebrated Jesus' birthday. We celebrated the fact that Christmas is when God, who is spirit, came into this world as human. His name is Jesus. We celebrated the fact that God had a purpose for coming into this world. He came to save us from our sins and to offer each one of us the gift of salvation and eternal life. Israel had been waiting for a prophesied Savior. They had been waiting for someone to rescue them from their enemies and protect them from harm. And if you read Isaiah chapter 42, 1 through 9, you will hear a full description of this Savior. He is God's servant, God's chosen one in whom God delights. He has God's Spirit upon him. He will bring justice. He will bring peace. He will mend broken lives. Isaiah 42 goes on to say that this servant of God will be a light to all nations. He will open eyes that are blind, free the captives, and release those who sit in darkness. Jesus is the Lord's servant that Isaiah talked about. Jesus is the Messiah, the high priest who atones for the sins of the world. Only through Jesus can our sins be forgiven. When Jesus was baptized, it was not because he had sinned and was now repentant and in need of forgiveness. Jesus never sinned. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who had no sin," that would be Jesus, "to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." In the book of Matthew that we just read, the Bible tells us that Jesus was baptized by his cousin John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, who we talked about at Christmas. Zechariah was the high priest in the temple. Elizabeth was his wife. They had no children. John was a miracle baby. John the Baptist is the one who baptized Jesus. He was Jesus' cousin. John's baptism symbolized a person's conscious decision to repent and to turn from sin. John's baptism was an outward sign of an inward decision and an inward commitment. Without God's grace, without the Holy Spirit at work living within them, the people who were baptized by John would soon turn back to their sins, they would soon forget about their repentance, and it was an incomplete cleansing. That goes for us too. Without the Holy Spirit, without God's grace in the form of the Holy Spirit living within us, we who are baptized would soon turn back to our sins and forget about our repentance. Without the Holy Spirit living within us, it would be an incomplete cleansing. We can turn from our sins, but only God Himself can cleanse us of the eternal effect of our sins by forgiving us. When Jesus was baptized, it was an act of humbling Himself to the level of sinful humankind. He lowered Himself to our level. It was the first step that Jesus took in taking our sins upon Himself. It was the beginning of Jesus' suffering, which ultimately led to Jesus bearing our sins upon the cross for us. It's Jesus who cleanses the sin from our hearts. The sinless blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us makes us able to stand clean and righteous before God. Isaiah chapter 1:18 quotes God in saying, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Because of Jesus, we can be washed clean. We can stand pure and righteous before God. God does not forgive us for our sins and give us His righteousness just because we believe in Jesus and decide to make up our minds to change our ways. That's no different than a New Year's resolution. And we all know what happens to New Year's resolutions. We must confess our sins and repent. Confession of our sins to God is the first act of believing in Jesus, God's only Son. Repentance is a heartfelt determination and a commitment to change our ways, as well as a commitment to remain honest and clean before God. We cannot be successful in our repentance until we confess our sins in faith to Jesus and ask for His help. We have to trust and believe that God hears us. We have to trust and believe that God forgives us. We have to take God's hand. We cannot change on our own. I've found that true repentance is not possible without confession of sin. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We must confess our sins to Jesus. It's only through Jesus' blood and perfect sacrifice that we can be forgiven and that we can be made righteous before God. So when we repent and confess our sins to Jesus, Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and with the fire of an ongoing repentant attitude and lifestyle. The result of that is that the Holy Spirit will urge us to pray for the souls of others. When's the last time you prayed for someone's soul? How long has it been since you prayed for someone's soul to be saved and then watched for some sign that God is answering your prayer? I have to confess, I don't do it near often enough. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 clearly describes King David's ongoing repentant attitude and lifestyle in his relationship with God. King David's prayer: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That needs to be our prayer too. The Holy Spirit is as gentle as a dove as He helps us change step by step and moment by moment into God's own image. The Holy Spirit reminds us of everything that Jesus has said. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our many sins and our bad attitudes, all so that we can truly stand clean before God. The fire of the Holy Spirit is God at work burning away the chaff, the residue of disobedience within us as God changes us into His own image and makes us able to obey Him. I've found that change is always uncomfortable. I've found that sometimes forgiving is miserable. And I've found that sometimes changing a bad habit seems almost impossible. But I've decided I'm going to start an exercise program this year. If you want to join me in this exercise program, you're welcome. Here it is. A repentant lifestyle is an exercise of change and an exercise and acceptance of the power of God. So my exercise regime this year is going to include a repentant lifestyle so that I can change and accept the power of God to do so. The Holy Spirit, the power of God within us, is the only power that makes us able to forgive. It's the only power that makes us able to turn from bad habits. It's the only power that makes us able to put on a humble attitude before God. When we confess and we repent of our sin before God, then our life from that moment on becomes a sweet-smelling sacrifice to the Lord. Our obedience is the sacrifice that God seeks from us. It sure would be a lot easier to just pay somebody else to be obedient for us. But our own personal obedience is the only way for us to show God our love for Him. I was in college back in 1978, and I listened to the music of the Christian artist Keith Green. Some of you may remember his name. In the opening words to the song, No Compromise, Keith Green sang these words: Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words, no white lies, no token prayers, no compromise. When you're baptized, all of the power of the one and only Almighty God comes upon you. We are baptized in the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, and in the name of God the Holy Spirit. There is only one true living God. There is only one salvation. There is only one baptism. Jesus died one time for all people, for all time. When we are baptized, regardless of our age, we become part of God's body, which is the church. When you are baptized as a baby, the Spirit of God surrounds you and leads you to that point of repentance and personal decision about Jesus. When you're baptized into the kingdom of heaven, that's the church, you're adopted into God's family. We are baptized into a family, and we are also baptized into a purpose. Our purpose becomes the same as God's: to praise and honor God and to introduce other people to Jesus. Our purpose is to pray for the souls of others. Our purpose is to teach people from the Bible about Jesus so that they too might accept God's gift of salvation for themselves. Introducing people to Jesus and teaching them how to be disciples of Jesus, that's the purpose and the mission of every single individual member of Christ's church. And God makes us able to do it through the power of His Holy Spirit. As United Methodists and here at Holiday Park Church, We believe that children are an integral part of the life and worship together as Christ followers. It's not us and them. It's we, young and old alike, together as the church. Jesus said in Mark 10:14, "Let the little children come to me and forbid them not, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." We like kids here. A number of years ago, I heard the story of a preacher who had a member in his church explain infant baptism in a way that has stuck with me since. I'll share with you that true story. My daughter and her husband went to China several years ago and adopted a Chinese baby. From the moment they saw her and picked her up, they knew that child would be part of their family. They went through all of the necessary paperwork and all the detailed requirements to make that adoption happen. That child would be raised with the family name O'Neill. And that decision was made when she was too young to understand anything about the decision, but not too young to know that she was wanted and loved and chosen special to be part of that family. The preacher went on to say that the adoptive parents knew that someday this little girl would look in the mirror and realize that she looked different from her family. They are Caucasian. She is Chinese. At that point, she will have to decide if she will retain her identity as an O'Neill or look for a different identity with her biological parents who are Chinese. These adoptive parents did not bring the girl home, raise her without an identity, and then announce to her at about age 12 that she would need to choose for herself if she would belong to the O'Neill family or to her biological family or choose some other family. The girl is being raised with an identity. If somewhere along the way she chooses to change that identity later, they will deal with that then. But her identity is given to her by the family who adopted her. In every country, people try to determine their ancestry and hold on to their culture. When we are baptized, we are adopted by God. God picks us special. When we are baptized, we are adopted into God's family regardless of our ancestry or our background or our experiences. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." God is the primary person at work, and it is God who wants you and loves you and chooses you special to be part of His family. Each one of us must decide if we want to be chosen by God enough to believe in God's word, the Bible, and to trust in God's only Son, Jesus, for our salvation.